Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, what's poppin', my niggas? PSA Hip Hop. I know the vibes already, man. Watch, what's good, my G?
What's good, my G? How you?
You know the vibes already, man. Let's get into this, Watch, man. We've been doing something that we've been doing for the last couple of weekends here, where we were visiting a lot of albums. You know, a lot of our supporters know we are a bunch of old head New York niggas that just love talking hip hop. And obviously our love for hip hop is broadened, and some people want us to go to other regions and other albums that, you know, we were outside for when it was on and popping. Tupac Shakur, man. Before we get into the meats and potatoes of the Don Kumalamati story, man. Talk to me, man, Tupac, man, going into this project, man, this is when he passed away, obviously, Watts. Right?
Well, this album was done already. So he recorded this album in August of 1996. It came out in November. So this is not an album that wasn't finished or completed. It was a complete album. You know, Pac was a prolific worker, so he'd be working on movies, and he was just doing a lot. So I remember him talking about this album in an interview when he was shooting the movie Gridlock, and he talked about this album. So the album was absolutely done and completed. Suge Knight put it out earlier because of his untimely passing. It really wasn't even supposed to come out in 96. It was supposed to come out in 97. But due to Pac's untimely passing, he put it out earlier.
Let's get right into this, Watch, man. The first song, man, set it off, my brother. Bomb First, My Second Reply, produced by a gentleman named Daryl Harper, who seemed to do the bulk of the production on this project, though, man. Talk to me, man. Machiavelli, man. Tupac, man.
I love the title of the song, Bomb First, in My Second Reply. So this was at the height of the quote-unquote East Coast-West Coast War.
Yes.
You know, I'm always offended. I'm always offended when people call it an East Coast War because it was New York City. Like, where was the East Coast at? The people he's dissing on this are from Queens, New York, and Brooklyn, New York.
Yes.
And if you want to say Puffy, we're going to say Money Earning, Mount Vernon, Harlem.
Money Earning.
The first song is... So here's the thing. If Pac was alive when this album came out and this song came out, man, oh, man, it would have sent shockwaves through the hip-hop industry. I mean, first of all, he's dissing Mobb Deep, Jay-Z, Nas, and Big.
Yes.
And don't
rappers. Let that breathe. Hold on. Let that breathe of the names that Pac was calling out. You know, if you do that in this era, they would deem you as a hater.
Not only a hater, it's equivalent to someone came out at the height of Atlanta and they just Jeezy, T.I., and Gucci Man in 06, in 07. Like, literally, that's what Pac did. First of all, the intro, he's talking about Mobb Deep, Jay-Z, and, you know, the classic line, I'm a bad boy killer, Jay-Z, die too, looking out for Mobb Deep, nigga, when I find you.
We
motherfuckers don't deserve to breathe. How many niggas want to die for me? Yeah, yeah. So this was very aggressive Pac going at the best
big dogs
albums and best rappers out of New York City. Mind you, this is 1996, and you're going at It Was Written, Nas, Reasonable Doubt, Jay, Biggie had done the Get Money remix, you knew what that was about, and Mobb Deep was about to drop Hell on Earth.
What?
So this was this song. It's, so let me just tell you about this song. Because Pac had died and hip-hop was in, like, mourning, it took away how impactful this song would have been because he was dead. You know what I'm saying?
Well, let me say this.
So it was just
let me think about
shocking.
What you said. I think time when he said Jay-Z's name, it probably, let's be real, it probably did not hold weight more than it did the Mobb Deep slander or the Nas slander or the Big slander. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, Pac knew who Jay-Z was, but let's be real, Reasonable Doubt should have went platinum, you know what I'm saying? And my thing is this, man, to set a tone off and let this be the first song that you basically set in the tone of exactly who you're going to call out, what issues you had. Tupac is, like you said, this is on the height of New York, like you said, no, East Coast, New York versus Cali. Let's just call it what it is. And him calling out these names, man. I mean, Corrupt says calling out names, but Tupac really called out names. You know what I mean? Can we say this is a dope song, though? It is what it is. Him calling people out and saying names, we have to respect it.
Yes, Pac had taken hip hop to, we don't do subliminals over here. When I don't like you, I ride on you. There's no ambiguity. There's no plausible deniability. There's no. I'm saying your name. I'm talking about you, and I'm bringing it to you raw, uncut. And it was shocking to hear he was really going at Nas. Like, I knew
Can we say Tupac was the first rapper that really said niggas' names, though? Like, he really said niggas. No subliminals. It was straight your names. He was saying your name.
I'm going to say I thought Tim Dog really was clear in his song Fuck Compton. You know, Dre beating on D from Pump It Up, Step to the Door, Get Fucked Up, A Crush.
But the level of people that Tim Dog was saying or watching. Yeah, but Tupac was saying big people names, though, bro. Tupac was saying niggas names that held weight in the culture.
No. I understand that. And I agree. This was not normal in hip hop. It wasn't normal. It just wasn't normal. And I'm telling you, this song, because Pac had died, like, everyone's listening to it in shock. Like, I was listening to it like, man, this guy does not like Nas. And I was really, like, wow, he really is calling out Jay-Z. Like, he calls out Jay-Z of Hawaiian Dopey fame.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, wow, Jay-Z clearly rubbed him the wrong way for whatever the reason was. I guess because he had a friendship with Big
alliance.
And anybody.
The Big Alliance.
You know. Yeah. So I thought this was a very aggressive song. To me, this is a dope set of song, man, because it was aggressive and it was raw.
Let me go ahead, man. I'm going to track two, Hail Mary featuring the Outlaws. And I'm going to say this, man. This is still to this day in 2020 a legendary song to this day. This song will never get old. It still rings off. Once this beat drops, I ain't no killer, but don't push me. Revenge is like the sweetest joy next to getting pussy. That's a legendary line. The hook is legendary. Pain rap from voice to lyrics. The Outlaws had a verse on here, but this was a dominant Pac verse. And I don't want to issue on the Outlaws too much on this revisiting Tupac's album here, man. But a lot of these joints, I wish Pac would have went dolo. Obviously, he's showing love to his team, so I get it. But this is just a legendary Hall of Fame song to this day. Hail Mary, man.
I agree. I believe he has one of the greatest opening lines in hip-hop history. I ain't a killer, but don't push me. Revenge is the sweetest joy next to getting pussy.
That's crazy.
I think that's a Smithsonian Five Mic Hall of Fame intro to a hip hop song. And you know, just to know how powerful and big this song was, at the height of the 50 Cent Ja Rule beef, 50 Cent, Eminem, and Busta Rhymes did this song over. 50 Cent emulated and copied and swaggered Jack Tupac's entire flow and delivery and used it to go against Ja Rule. So this is how impactful this song was. Another Five Mic song.
Yeah, it's a Five Mic song, definitely. Next song, watch. Toss It Up, man. Talk to me.
Toss It Up. Shot a video for it. It's one of the singles. Clearly, Pac had a lot to get off his chest about Dr. Dre that I noticed nobody wants to talk about. When no one wants to talk about it, but we're going to talk about it because Pac talked about it. You know, still down for that death row sound, searching for payday, no longer Dre Day, or even Dirt Day. And for the rest of that verse, he rolled on Dre. He rolled on Dr. Dre the rest of that verse. And this is why I'm telling you, Pac's death took away how much these songs would have really stung. Because you got to remember, if Pac is alive when this album comes out, every time you talk to Dr. Dre or Mobb Deep or Nas or Big, it's going to be like, yo, what do you got to say about the number one rapper or one of the biggest rappers in the world dissing you? Like, they would not have been able to escape it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, to me, this is one of my favorite songs on the album.
I
always liked that song when it came out. And to me, this is a dope song.
I would say this, man. Like, I agree with everything you said. It's one of my favorite joints on this project. Tupac's first verse, Lord Have Mercy, help me out. Since you supplied your phone number, I can help with call. Time for action, conversation, kicking, relaxing, back. I remember chilling with shorties that actually loved that first verse from Tupac, man. And once again, Drake, this is how you rap the chicks like Tupac did in that first verse, man. I like the beat a lot. Something Tupac said that I found interesting, man. He said the word capo, right? And when you hear the word capo, especially when it comes to hip-hop terms, we might think of Jim Jones. It's just funny how that dynamic works, that he was saying capo, but Jim Jones. You know, Tupac was very influential. A lot of things niggas say in words that they say in their vocabulary. I'm going to say that also. But his last verse to me was very tough, you know, compared to his first verse about shorties and his last verse coming at people and stuff like that, man. Another dope song by Tupac, man. Next song, Watch Talk To Me, man. To Live And Die In L.A., man.
I think this is one of the songs that immortalized why the West Coast loved Tupac so much. When I listen to this song, because I don't understand or know about the L.A. lifestyle, because I just, you know, I don't know it. So when I hear a song like On Me Against the World, when Pac does Old School, right, and he's talking about all the rappers you know about, I feel like this is the West Coast version of that. He's talking about K-Day. He's talking about all the places. He's talking about avenues. He's talking about hood.
Yep.
Like it's like it's a love letter, Angeles. I think this is an anthem for the West Coast, for Los Angeles.
It is.
He shot a video for this. I love that this was an era in hip hop where, you know, regular people were in videos. Like it wasn't the video big thing.
No guest appearances.
Like it's just everyday regular people show up to a video shoot. Let's shoot it. You know what I'm saying? And like this is a salute to LA, smooth vibe song. Shot a video to this one too. This is another song that he shot a video for.
Listen, this is a Cali anthem, like you said. I remember the video with Pac surrounded by all the chicks in the video. Like you said, no video vixens. It was just regular. Even though Cali got some beautiful women, though, I got to say that, though, man. Shout out to all the sisters in Cali. But, yeah, man, it's a regular video, man. It's a Cali anthem. Better learn about the dress code. B's and C's. All them other niggas copycats. D's and G's. Like, yo, this is definitely a Cali anthem. And if you ask the average Cali person that you know, we have up north, we have a lot of New York songs that we deem as New York anthems. This is definitely a top Cali anthem song, in my opinion, that I don't know if Snoop has that or Cube has that in their repertoire. Resumes of Cali anthems. Pac actually has a Cali anthem. You know what I mean? Next one, Watch Talk To Me, man. Blasphemy.
Solo Pac song. He says a line in here that I like. It's a simple line, but it always stood out to me. They say Moses split the Red Sea. I split the blunt. When I heard that, I always like, oh, all right. I see what you're talking about. You know, solid song, Pac, just rhyming in his Pac fashion.
Yeah. Another song that I really rocked with, I thought Pac was dropping some gems and rules on here, man. The Preacher Want Me Buried. Why? Because I know he a liar. Have you ever seen a crackhead that's eternal life? Real mixed in one. I thought Pac's flow in his beat was dope and shit. Solid song, man. Next song, Watch Talk To Me, man. Life of an Outlaw, man.
Life of an Outlaw features Pac and the Outlaws. If you want to know how Pac felt about the Outlaws, he felt this was his crew. These are the guys he rapped with. This is one of them songs where he gives them a lot of light. One of the albums and one of the songs where he gives them light. Pac had no problem sharing the limelight on songs, like on classic songs. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, when you record, you don't know if this is going to be the classic song or whatever, but he just he showed love to whoever's in the studio, put it that way. And because he was a prolific recorder, you know, this is one of them songs. Solid song.
Yeah, man. Energy on here was Pac. One thing about Tupac, man, his energy on tracks, man. I might not like all of the beats that he raps off, but his energy is always there, man. Looking at my looking at me laughing at my competition, flashing my jewelry, and I gotta be real again, man. I thought, you know, I wish Tupac kind of went dolo on here. Watts, am I wrong for saying that?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
you know, when I hear that, it's like saying, you know, do you want to hear Big rap without Junior Mafia? You know what I'm saying? Do you consider,
right.
You know, so I don't know because, you know, the Outlaws, they have a fan base, a strong fan base. You know, people who are into Pac. Like, you can't be into Pac and not be into the Outlaws because, you know.
Really?
He raps with Robert
Smith's
crew. Because I think
that
was
like
his crew. They're on this song. Listen, they're on Hit 'Em Up. They're on his famous diss song. They're on Hit 'Em Up. They're on Hail Mary. They're on Bomb First. You know what I'm saying? Like, his classic song, they're rapping with him.
Right. All right, next up, my G. Talk to me, man. Just Like Daddy.
Well, so my favorite part of this song is what a lot of people may not understand, but if you know me, you'd understand it. It's that they're rapping over Impeach the President, which I think is an all-time top three hip-hop beat to rap over. Basically, everybody in hip-hop raps over the Impeach the President sample, and they just add other stuff around it to disguise it. I like how, basically, Pac's verse is about a ride or die chick. That's basically what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, one of the Outlaws go first. Well, Pac's second verse is about a ride or die chick. So I like the Impeach the President beat, and I like that he rapped about his ride or die chick.
Right. So do you think the song gets a lot of love, as it should or no?
I do think it gets a lot of love to people who love Tupac. See, one thing I know about fans of Pac is they really know his albums. And this album, Me Against the World, like his albums that came out while he was alive, they can dissect every song, every album. So I do think this song gets love.
Right. Yeah, man. Did this song give you like a Black Girl Lost kind of feel? Did you get that vibe listening to this?
Well, like I said, it gave me a ride or die feel.
Mm-hmm.
About a girl who just ride or die for him. That's the feel I got from it.
All right. Next song, Watts, let me get right here, man. Crazy featuring Badass. It's funny hearing Badass. Even though Snoop, I wish you to play the song Long Idea when you went Badass on the, you know, verses where you went DMX, neither here nor there. Crazy featuring Badass. It's obviously two brothers that passed away. Listening to Badass and listening to Tupac on this track. Wait for it, Watts. I think this is a very introspective song by Tupac.
I knew it.
It's coming out, man. And I actually had a homeboy. I actually had a homeboy who was a big Tupac fan. He's around our age, right? And he used to always play this song around me when we chill. This song crazy. He's from the West Coast, obviously, also. But he used to always talk about this song crazy when we talk about Tupac, man. Your thoughts on the song Crazy, my G?
The one word. This is an introspective song. And that when I heard it, that's what I got from it. So it's clear, me and you know what introspective is, because every time we do these flashback reviews, we pinpoint the introspective song. Like laser. You know what I'm saying? And this is clearly Pac in the introspective bag.
Word. Next song, Watts, White Man's World. I would say this, though, man. Very relevant song, especially with the way the world is going within the last couple of months with police brutality on our people and everything. Use your brain. It's not them that's killing us. It's us killing us. Now, let me ask you this, Watts. Do you think that line would go over right now with the Black Lives Matter movement?
Yes, because you got to take this whole song into context of what he's saying, and he's saying a lot. So let me just say this. This song could come out today and be 100% relevant.
Yes.
In other words, pop. Yep. If a rapper wrote this song right now, and let me tell you what he said on here, man, that is really powerful and resonates with me a lot. First of all, it's a powerful song, and it showed you how easily Pac could go into a socially conscious bag.
He was ahead of his time, man. I can't front on that.
It was effortless. Now, one of the lines he says speaks to the soul of the nation, especially to people like me. He says, "Help me raise my black nation, reparations are due." That became something that black people in this country who come from descendants of slavery are now talking about. They're like, yo, this country was black Americans whose ancestors were slaves. They owe us.
Right.
Pac is talking about this in 1996.
We're just now
starting to talk about it in 2020. This is prophet stuff. This is a prophet. This is a powerful song, man. This is one of the reasons why people put Pac over Big and put him over so many rappers
because
he was so young.
Yes.
You know, y'all praising Meek Mill.
Listen, I know you're going to go there.
Y'all praising Meek. Pac was 24 years old,
That's crazy. 23, 24.
Dropping this kind of knowledge.
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? He was young. So, you know, this just highlights.
Yeah, isn't it crazy?
You know,
wait, come on. Isn't it crazy when we talk about the young people, this generation of hip-hop, right? Like, they'll say, oh, these guys are young. They don't really know. But how can we say that when you and I live through young brothers,
Chuck D, all
these guys?
That's why
you know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
That's why me and you don't say that. We don't give them that pass. That's why me and you don't give these young guys that pass. We don't give them that pass. And that's why we're going to be like, oh, y'all stuck in the 90s and y'all this and that. Well, guess what? Pac is from the 90s. He's universally considered the greatest rapper of all time. Jay-Z, who's considered the greatest rapper of all time, is from the 90s. So y'all want to be mad at the 90s, but yet y'all quick to say the greatest rappers of all time came from the 90s. So boom. This is just a powerful, dope song.
Yeah, I agree with that, brother. Next song, Me and My Girlfriend, a very big song that Jay-Z did take from Tupac, the original Bonnie and Clyde. Even though Pac was talking about a gun, remembrance of Nas, I Gave You Power, and things like that.
And Pharoah Monch, Straight Bullet.
And Pharoah Monch, Organized Confusion also. Talk to me, man, Me and My Girlfriend, man.
A side of Pac that Pac didn't show, but you said the key word. This is I Gave You Power. This is a song that meant so much that Jay-Z personally went to Suge, cut him a check just so he could re-record this song, and he recorded it with Beyonce when he decided, let the world know I'm with Beyonce. And this was one of the videos that did it. This is a powerful Pac song. This is a song that a lot of people have on their Pac Mount Rushmore song. It's a metaphor. He's talking about Pac is talking about a girl and a gun at the same time. Where you could Pac, I used to love her. Where you're trying to figure out what is he talking about? Is it a girl or is it an actual gun? Well, he's talking about a gun, but the way he's doing it, you would think it's a girl. But it's a gun. So this is a dope song that shows Pac's creativity.
Right, definitely. Next song, Hold Your Head. I thought this is one of the songs where Pac was letting the pen bleed on this particular joint. Watch, man. Talking about his childhood and all types of events. I thought this is a song you don't really hear too many people talk about, especially on his Machiavelli project when he's going at people's head tops, like Drake will say. But talk to me, man. Hold Your Head, man.
I agree with you. I thought he let the pen bleed. I thought this was, in the words of DMX, pain. And it shows you that Pac can give you every kind of hip-hop. He's not a one-dimensional rapper at all. And he showed it on this song.
Next song, Watts, Against All Odds. let me say this, man. I like this song way more than Hail Mary, man. Even though there was Nas slander, Dre slander, Mobb Deep slander, Puff slander. Payback, I know you bitch niggas from way back with this beach with straps. No, I wouldn't play that. Set me up, wet me up, niggas stuck me up. Heard the guns buzz, but you tracks never shut me up. Like, Pac was floating on here, man. You can hear the anger in his voice. Coming to Haitian Jack, Jimmy Henchman. Everyone caught it. And I got to say, as much as people love Hail Mary, I like Against All Odds way more than Hail Mary, man. I think it's a five mic song, man. Talk to me.
You know, Pac really went through a period in his life where Nas really bothered him. Like, he looked at Nas as someone that he did not, I don't know what it was about Nas that he did not like, but man, he clearly didn't like Nas. You know, from the infamous, he's stepping to Nas in New York. You know, this little nigga named Nas, think he live like me.
He left
the hospital, took five like me. You know what I'm saying? That's on the first verse. Then on the last verse, hey Nas, your whole damn style is weak. You hear my melody read all my life in the papers. Y'all don't like ugly, it's written. Like, he just clearly had a problem with Nas when he was writing this album. And he let it be clear. And that is why this is a song that if Pac is alive, I'm telling y'all right now, the late 90s, the latter years of 1996 going into 1997 would have been very,
it would have been
a lot of tension with East Coast, West Coast, because being that Pac died, and then Big ends up being killed. Everybody decides, yo, we got to calm this down. But if Pac was alive, the way he was riding on the entire New York City, man, you would have had to have Farrakhan, Russell Simmons, everybody would have had to try to calm this down. Because he was really, he was really going at it. You know what I'm saying? And this is one of them songs, man. He was. Like, he went at Nas, man. Like, went at him.
He went at Nas hard. I'm talking about super hard, man. You know what I mean? All right, Watts, I'm going here, man. I have this project as a four-mic project, right? And hear me out, Common Boys. I know y'all deem this as a classic, and I understand, right? But I just got to speak from the heart. Was I playing this hard body in 1996, I heard it a couple times. Of course I heard it. I was outside. But was this in heavy rotation for me? For three-letter man, it was not in heavy rotation like that. But a good thing about me and Watson, we get to revisit this album and listen to the lyrics, the beats, and everything like that. I got this as a solid, dope four mics.
I agree with you. To me, this is a four-mic album, and I will give you my reasonings why. This album came out in November of 1996. Albums that I thought were five-mic albums were It Was Written, Reasonable Doubt, Muddy Waters, The Score by the Fugees, Iron Man by Ghostface Killah. Those are albums that I deemed, first of all, that I just played more. And meant more to me. And I actually thought the rapping on those albums I named were better. Maybe the content wasn't better, but for me, the rapping on those albums were better. And the production on those albums were better to me.
Right.
This is a four-mic album. And it's not a diss at all. We went down every song. We talked about what we liked about the song. But that's how I viewed it when it came out. And that's how I view it now.
Mm. All right. So it is, man. Our Tupac, you know what I mean? Machiavelli, man. You know what I mean? All right, let's go ahead, man. Shout out to our guy Ransom, man. I think he's dropped a drop Director's Cut Part 3. And that Ransom being keeping it busy, man. We like that, right?
I'm going to tell you this, my guy.
With Nicholas Craven.
I'm going to tell you this. I tweeted Ransom yesterday. I said, Ransom, I'm going to be real with you. I do not know how you're going to top the song Pulp Fiction, your last verse, which is going to be in my verse of the year candidates. I thought Nicholas Craven's production and the way Rand was rapping on Director's Cut 2 No, one and two, matter of fact, were just
one and
incredible.
One and two was incredible.
And I see the people that you have guests appearing on this. The fact that you got Special and R.J. Payne, I already know those are 2-5 months.
Yeah.
I'm saying it right now. And this is not me jumping out the window. Because, you know, if I'm going to be honest, Ransom and R.J. Payne have been my favorite rappers of 2020. They just been rapping better than, to me, everybody I listen to. So I'm very, very excited about Director's Cut 3. Very excited about Six Shot by 30 Special. Very excited about R.J. Payne coming out with a collaboration album where I'm calling it right now, R.J. Payne will not get out-rapped on any song. And that's a powerful statement.
Nah.
On an album where everybody's going to have a guest verse. So
he's going to match you on a verse. He's either going to match you on a verse or have a better verse,
or have
in my opinion.
Or have the best verse. Because
I go back to Benny the Butcher, Plugs I Met. Hold on, I go back to Benny the Butcher, Plugs I Met project, right? And the song with Conway and Benny and them. And I thought R.J. Payne had a better verse. I also go back to Leatherface 1 when Leatherface meets Butcher. I know how much I rock with Benny, but I thought R.J. Payne had a better verse than Benny on Leatherface meets Arm Butcher. That's me, though. And for me to say that, how much I rock with Benny, I got to say that, yo, R.J. Payne right now is that dude, man. That's just real
how
talk.
How much do I love Ransom? Three, how much do I love Ransom?
Ransom's that dude, man. We know that Ransom is everything.
Right.
If you like hip-hop, man,
I'm
not like Ransom, man.
Even I admitted that on Boogeyman Meets Leatherface, I had to give it to R.J. Payne.
You got to give it to R.J. Payne,
Fire verse. And if R.J. Payne is going to out-rap Ransom, when Ransom spit a verse that I cannot complain about at all,
right,
I think it's fire, then I'm telling you right now, I think R.J. Payne is going to lap, dude. No disrespect to you, Chubby Jag. You know I fuck with you hard body. Mickey Facts. All y'all that's going to be on this album. JoJo Pellegrino, I don't know how Three feels about you being on the album, but you on there.
R.J. Payne, we're going to talk.
I think R.J. Payne is going to either match or out-rap everyone. And it's going to be, and I'm going to really love seeing it because I like lyricists getting flowers. That means something.
Yeah, R.J. Payne right now, I don't think he, you know, like we said numerous times, and not to be the dead horse, man, did we want that Griselda, Black Soprano, family tree, or them working together? Do we want that for the culture? Yes, we wanted that to happen. I thought that was a great look for R.J. Payne to be chilling with Benny and touring with Benny and things of that nature, and being close to Benny and stuff like that. Because I thought, no disrespect to Benny the Butcher's roster of dudes that he has, though, but R.J. Payne is lapping all those guys around the track like 5 times. That's just my opinion. Sorry, Rick Hyde. I'm just keeping it a stack. You know what I mean? So we shall see, man. Let me ask you this. T.I., right, for a while, you know, in my opinion, I thought he was out here trying to start a New York versus Atlanta type thing going on, which I didn't understand. For the sake of me, why he was doing that, he was not here in 96 when Outkast was saying the South had something to say. So I just felt he was trying to bring up old shit when this young people, Fabio Foreign is from Brooklyn, New York. You really think he gives a rat's ass about regional talk? They don't care about that. The young generation cares more about doing the music. They're more of working more than our era. I'm just keeping it real. I got to salute the young boys in that department. They don't care about all that regional shit. If you're popping, they want to work with you, and it is what it is. You know, it's a gift and a curse by doing that. But I say this. We know that T.I. called out 50 Watts, and you and I had a discussion. We'll get into that in a minute. But if conversations is right, that Swizz is saying Jay-Z wants to come outside, I don't know if I fully believe that. I'm campaigning for Jay-Z and T.I. right now, man, in the verses.
So I'm going to say this. I don't believe Jay-Z wants to come outside. That's one. If he does, I will be shocked. I do believe his competitive energy when you watch Snoop Dogg and DMX rap. I believe just his competitive energy of loving hip-hop, and these were his two peers, I believe that may have awakened something in him, but I believe you just have to ask for too much and make things too perfect to get Jay-Z to come outside. That's just me.
I
could be wrong, no problem. Now back to T.I. I've rethought my positioning on T.I. It's disappointing that 50 wouldn't come outside, because I've been trying to find people for T.I. to battle, because he wants to battle a New Yorker. But the New Yorkers that he can battle, they were a decade before him. So it would be generations battling each other. A rapper who was from his same time frame in the 2000s is 50. You put out three G-Unit albums, and you put out three solo albums and multiple mixtapes in the 2000s. I'm talking about 50.
Right.
50 has the catalog to battle T.I. Now I wish he would have did it, because T.I. is literally walking around now, in my opinion.
I think we should bring that back. I think that conversation should be brought back to the fold. I don't think we should just bury it. We do a show here. I think niggas in the culture should really, you know, go back and campaign for 50 and T.I. I think that makes more sense than any battle, besides if T.I. wants to battle a specific New Yorker, since, you know, and shit like that. It shouldn't really be Jay-Z, to be honest. It shouldn't be Nas. It shouldn't be none of these guys.
Because
it should be 50 Cent.
They're the same era. They're the same era.
Right.
So, I wish that would happen. That way, we'll see. We'll see how the songs hit when they play them, you know. So I wish 50 would have decided to come outside. And knowing 50, because his goal was to get rich or die trying, he got rich. And to quote Jay-Z, you can bullshit with rap if you want.
You want. A fact, though. That's a fact. If Jay came out, though, Nas, right? Probably Scar. I see people saying Scarface. They were telling me, nah, 3, we don't want T.I. If it's going to be a South person against Jay-Z, they want Scarface. That's a name I've seen floating around heavy.
What
do you think about Jay and Scarface?
When people say that, they don't know that Scarface is on dialysis 4 times a week.
Health issues.
Scarface is not in any physical condition to do this right now, because he had a COVID battle and his kidneys ended up failing. So I wish they knew that. Like, so while Scarface would definitely be ideal to battle Jay-Z, you know, because they got 90s work, it's not realistic because of his physical conditioning. So to me, come on, you know it could be Jay-Z and Nas, of course. And it would be a celebration.
Right.
Because let me tell you, they both have enough songs to celebrate.
I don't think it's a celebration.
But to me, I'm gonna be honest. T.I. wants somebody.
Why?
T.I. wants the battle.
Hold on, talk about. Hold on. I don't think it'd be a celebration. I don't think it'd be a celebration if Jay and Nas battle.
It would
be some type of undertone between both those guys. They're still competitive, man. And when it comes to the music,
it's hard to be competitive when you're a fan of each other's music. Jay-Z has made it very clear he's a fan of Illmatic. He's not going to be Screwface to Nas if Nas does about 6 songs with Illmatic. He's not going to be like, I'm mad.
No, but it's still a thing like, okay, you play Dead President, I'm going to play New York State of Mind, and let's get it rocked. It's going to be one of those. That you're going to rock each other's music, but, you know.
And guess what? Dead President, in Dead President, you got Dog Walk. If Nas dropped, as soon as the New York State of Mind head nod started, brother, you know,
I would go New York State of Mind over Death Presidents.
I know
you
would. And everybody else.
They wouldn't even think twice about it.
Nas is the one guy who would benefit the most from doing the verses. You should have loved Snoop Dogg. That's the kind of love Nas would get. Because Nas has the exact same amount of 90s hits and work. But I don't know if he knows it. And because Nas is on some, I don't want to play songs from Illmatic anymore because people keep going to that. Well, play Uchiwali then.
Hey, Ho, let me say this, man. If you decide to do a versus, my nigga, I'm going to need you to Eurostep over a lot of your albums. Yeah, I got to go here. I don't want to hear nothing. And I come, let me say this again. I do not want to hear one song. Hov, if you try to play yourself and play Holy Grail, my nigga, I will give you 5 times Archie Bunker Award. I ain't trying to hear Tom Ford. That swack ass song you got with Nas on Haley on Magna Carta. No one think about this. Jay and Nas got success. Jay and Nas got Black Republicans, and they got a song on Magna Carta that no one, and I repeat, no one in the culture has asked about. Watch.
You know what that song reminds me of, right?
That Jay and Nas song.
Somebody, you know what song? You know, it reminds me of Busta having Jay and DMX on a song.
Ah, oh, that was
and
an Anarchy,
prime.
Anarchy album.
And their
that was a
and
was
nobody took me. I mean, that God, to me,
yo,
that means they made that song
damn
reluctantly.
That's
to me, there's
that
no
niggas
way
do not talk about. You got Busta Rhymes, DMX, and Jay-Z.
And Jay-Z are in the studio in 1999, and they come out with a song that nobody ever wanted to hear or play again.
It was,
I remember when I first
it wasn't worse than Jay and Nas, though. It wasn't worse than Jay and Nas on Magna Carta, though. I'm sorry.
Man, it was forgettable.
That song was trash.
It was forgettable.
On Magna Carta.
I understand that, but think about this. You had DMX in 99, Hov in 99, and Busta. And that's what y'all came up with? To me, either they wasn't in the studio or it was they were just doing a favor for Busta. Like, that's the only thing I can think of.
That song was terrible, son. That song was ass cheeks. Roseanne Barr ass cheeks. I'm not going to hold you, man. Or can it be Jay-Z and Busta? What do we think about Hov versus Busta?
That would be a dope battle. Busta's another one who has the – Busta has the track record. But Busta has a mean 20 verses. A mean.
Yes.
Let me tell you how mean Busta's 20 verses. I believe Busta would Eurostep the Flip Mode album. But some of his best verses he ever spit is on that album. And that would –
hold on. You know why he would do that, though, because only you and I and a couple heads really listen to that Flip Mode album.
I know, but, man, some of the best rap you've ever heard – I mean, you remember that song on Flip Mode album where they said, "Give me your P," and he rapped the letter for every word.
He just spazzed.
Yep, man. Before Papoose's Alphabetical Slaughter. Before Papoose's Alphabetical Slaughter.
Yes.
Busta Rhymes did that on the Flip Mode album. God,
that's
some
a fact.
Incredible verses.
That's a five mic verse for Busta. Would you agree with me on that?
He would Eurostep that album. He would Eurostep on album. And
hold
I'm going
to
tell
you
this again.
With me? Hold on. Would you agree with me that's a five-mic verse from Busta?
Not only is that a five-mic verse, I think Busta has about 3 or 4 five-mic verses on that album. That is that album is a rapping album. It's about rapping.
Yes.
That is why, if you want to know how nice Rod Digger is, if y'all want to hear what an ill female sound like, I highly recommend you listen to Rod Digger's verses on the Flip Mode Imperial album.
Mm-hmm. Word. And so Busta and Jay, what about Jay and Willow Wayne? As much as I love Hov Watts, I'm going to be real with you, Wayne scares the shit out of me. I'm going to be honest with you. That's one dude that scares the living Jesus out of me.
I'm going to tell you what people from the 2000s, I'm going to tell you, Wayne would have the same problem that Fab had with Jada. Because it was the same thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because
I don't know, man.
Jay can stay in the 90s. People keep forgetting. Jay's been doing this so long. But Jay can give you 20 90s joints, man, before we get to the Dynasty album. Or he could end it with the Dynasty intro or start it with the Dynasty intro. You know what I'm saying? Like, and by the time Wayne gets
Hov, don't do no blueprints besides Blueprint 1. I don't want you to. You could do probably one off Blueprint 2 that's pushing it here and there, but no Blueprint 3, no, what's the other album, Watts? Well, show me what you got. Now, Kingdom Come. I'm good off that. I don't need nothing off that. Blueprint 3 also.
Will you agree that Snoop did the greatest Euro step since Allen Iverson stepped over Tyronn Lue, the way he Euro stepped the Dogfather album?
Yes.
Was that one of the all-time great Euro steps?
Yes. And
he
went
straight from murder.
Aren't we glad that he didn't do that, though, that he knew that he had to Euro step that? Aren't we glad as hip-hop consumers?
But it's like even Snoop knows nothing on that song album was good. He, like, that's an admission. That's because you went straight to Master P. You went from Murder Was the Case album to Master P. And you really out here acting like
he
the Dogfather album did not come out. Yo, he really out
here. So fast. Oh, man. That's crazy. Yo, watch. I'm going to give you a name, right, that I thought about yesterday that would do very interesting in 20 verses, right? And I thought about it, man. I'm like, yo, if this person decided to get in this, man, it would be very interesting, man, because this man has 20 verses that is going to hit hard. Method Man.
I think Method Man is so good with 20 verses. He could have had 20 for Snoop. He could have been in there, and
okay,
it would have been a hip-hop celebration.
Let's see there. Okay. Yo, Meth versus Snoop. Would that have been crazy?
Yes, it would have been crazy. Because remember, the verses that Meth, because remember, Snoop was spitting verses from classic collaborations. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
Meth is on all the classic Wu-Tang songs, and he spits verses on them. If you don't, I mean, just imagine Meth, you know, setting it off with Wu-Tang Clan and then the F with Method Man.
Oh, my God.
Shame on the nigga. Like,
tomorrow the sounds get busy.
Yeah, man. Like it would be, and that's just versus.
Dog.
I think Meth is one of the MCs. Meth, Busta, Nas, Snoop.
Yes.
Ice Cube. Redman, these are guys, KRS, LL, these are guys, if we only sing 20 verses, these are guys who all have a Hall of Fame 20 verse list. And Method Man is one of them. Method Man could come outside anytime. And I'm going to be honest, Meth, you wanted no smoke with Joe Budden, right? But if you did this 20 verse song, Joe Budden would be a stand of you.
Wait. Stay there. I cannot let you just. Are you saying and implying to the hip hop world right now, watching that Method Man didn't want no smoke with Joe Budden?
He wanted none, and it was.
If you say that,
that was one of the common ways they can't let you gloss over that. That was one of the most shocking things I'd ever witnessed in hip hop history. Because when he was confronted
It did.
It shocked me because I didn't know what he was. I didn't know what he was afraid of. Like,
now,
what did he think would happen?
Do you feel in Redman's? Let me ask you. Do you feel in Redman's heart of hearts, even Busta Rhymes? But let's go Redman because he's from Jersey, like this nigga. But do you think Redman felt that also? Like, Meth ain't really want no smoke. Let's have real talk.
I don't know if Redman felt that way, but Method Man felt that way. He didn't want no smoke. And I'm telling you, man, I used to have our discussions at work. We were trying to figure out why is he afraid to battle Joe Budden? Like it was like we were doing deep dives trying to understand because let me tell you why I know it bothered him. This was when YouTube first started. YouTube was only like 3 years old during this time. So Method Man was promoting the Blackout album, Blackout Part 2 with Redman. Method Man was spitting his verses so passionately during this time. And I'm like, Method Man, why are you trying to prove to everybody you can still rap when the elephant in the room is Joe Budden called you out as an MC? And you just tried to dismiss him. You tried to, you know, big dog, you know, my legacy over him. And this, it wasn't about that. It was about battle rapping. So
You know what, though? To piggyback on what you're saying, I think Meth also was I don't want to say Joe blindsided him, Watts, but you got to remember now, man, even, you know, we just revisited Tupac's album, right? During the East Coast, West Coast wars or New York versus Cali, whatever you want to call it, nobody was calling out the Wu. Like, no, West Coast niggas, with all due respect, y'all was calling out mad niggas' names, but them niggas in Staten Island, and some Brooklyn, of course, but mainly Staten Island, their names were not being mentioned. Well, obviously, Master Killer, GZA, you know.
RZA, Genius, you know. Master Killer. There's four people from Brooklyn.
Yeah, but hold on. You should be happy that I say that, because most niggas are just going to say Staten Island. I have to let niggas know that we got some Brooklyn MCs that was in the Wu. They act like it's just Staten Island only. So I made sure I highlight that. But now the point that I'm making is that nobody was saying the Wu's name during all that. So I think it blindsided Meth that, damn, my nigga, you're saying my name when no one's ever questioned Method Man. This is Method Man, a guy you and I have said numerous times on this show, Watts, when we did our top niggas in the 90s. Both of us had Method Man very high on our list, sir, and we both acknowledged that he was sitting at the table with Big and Nas, the only nigga that was on Biggie Smalls' album. So me and you have the utmost respect for Method Man. So maybe let me ask you this. Is that the reason why it threw you off that we know he had ill verses, the first nigga to set it off for the Wu solo-wise? His name was Edged in Stone. Chicks loved him. 9 to 5s loved him. Hood niggas loved him. Was that the reason why it threw you off, threw you for a loop?
I'm going to tell you something, man. I'm still to this day not understanding his reluctance. And here's what it comes down to. He didn't want no smoke. That's the only logical answer I could come up with. We couldn't come up with any other answer. Budden publicly made it very clear that he's nicer than him rhyming at that point. And stated why.
I love Meth though, man.
And I was like, and when they would ask Meth, and I remember they asked Redman act like he was blindsided. He just like, oh, you know, I know Joe Buck. You know, he's from Jersey.
This is
like,
why I asked you.
Right. They didn't know.
Oh, this is why I asked you.
Shit.
Do you think Redman knew in his heart of hearts
I think Redman was thrown off.
Okay.
If there's anybody who knows how nice Method Man is, if there's
it's
one
Redman.
MC who knows, it's Redman. So I think Redman
was
just like, I think Redman was just like, wow. Speaking of Method Man, he recently gave an interview to Angela Rye, and I want to ask you a question, Dewey.
All right.
He recently did a podcast with Angela Rye, you know, the woman who does the political stuff on The Breakfast Club, right? And she asked him, who do you think are the most underrated MCs from the 90s? He said, me. He stated himself. He stated Depp. And then he stated E-40, UGK, in the 90s. So I want to ask you, if you were interviewing Method Man, so of course Angela Rye, who knows nothing about hip-hop, could just listen, and you got Method Man, one of the legendary figures, and you just listen. You are interviewing Method Man, and you ask him the same exact question, and that's the way he answers your question, that he says the most slept-on MCs in the 90s with E-40 and UGK, what would your follow-up question be, Tom?
Well, I want to dissect the first thing that he said, Watts. He said himself, right?
Yes.
Meth, how could you say yourself when I got to be real with you? When we go back to King of New York talk in 94, I'm watching. Am I off by saying this? That we can make the argument that Method Man is doing that. He definitely was nominated for MVP candidate in 1994.
I'm going to take it a step further. I don't know if Nas was ever as popular as Method Man. How about that?
I'm not mad at that.
I thought Method Man was that popular. He was the most popular member of popular group in New York City.
Yo, Meth, you're bugging.
I mean, come
on. You're bugging, Meth. You're bugging.
Meth, you slept on Meth. Everybody ran in Port DeKalb. Everybody.
Dog, we ran to the store with the cow chop, my nigga, with anticipation, with smile on your face, and couldn't wait to take the wrap off that shit and read the credits and pop the tape in. It was Meth,
Biggie,
the first nigga to do what?
Biggie wanted you on that album.
Hold on, watch, before you go, watch. You and I always talk about highly anticipated albums. And we talk about, let's be real, my nigga. I don't think Illmatic was more anticipated than DeKalb. Anticipated. I'm just saying. Not saying it was a better album.
No,
big difference.
Listen. That's the point.
Big difference.
Method Man, when you say you are one of the most slept on MCs.
You're bugging, man. You're bugging.
If you're living and experiencing it, you were getting your flowers. You were treated like a rap superstar. Now, I think what you're talking about now is we're in 2020, and anytime people do top five, top ten lists, your name is never mentioned.
That is true.
What bothers me. I think that's why he says he's underrated.
Go ahead now.
Because
it's always Biggie, Jay-Z,
and Andre 3000.
Now, let's be real now.
The cop out
answer. Let's say he felt that way, right? Does he have a point, though?
Uh-huh. Because
I think he has a point to feel some type of way when Big, Jay, Nas, you know what I mean?
Remember, Big and Pac are always going to get the nostalgia vote because they died young. And we never saw how great they were going to be. So that already takes up two slots. Then Jay-Z and Nas are just etched in stone because they both got 30-year bodies of work. Like,
right. You
know, it's hard to get them out of there. And then you have a new generation where the new young guys say, look, Kendrick is one of these guys now. Y'all going to have to put him at the table with all the top five MCs and Andre 3000's there. So I think Mets feels like, hey, man, I'm at the table with Jay-Z and Nas. Why am I never mentioned?
But I think there's two people that you and I always talk about in the 90s, right? Well, three people, I would say. I would say honorable mention, Grand Puma, right? But I'm going to say two names to you right now that you and I always make sure that we get them in respect. Method Man and Buckshot Shorty. I think we make it very well known on this show that they were as good as Jay. I mean, Big and Nas. Not even get Jay-Z out of here for a minute. Just Big and Nas.
Yes.
Big Nas, Method, and Buckshot Shorty. That four horsemen right there. They weren't popping, those four. I'm not even putting Ho's name next to there. So, Meth, I don't have you as an underdog or slept on. I don't even say that. Now, you said Deck also, right, Watts? Hold on, y'all. Watts just dropped right quick. Let me get it back on. Hold on. Here, we just having a hip hop conversation with this dude. Let's see if he can come back in. Hold on. This thing dropped. Just get the car back on. Like, no. Y'all believe Method Man was slept on? No, I don't believe Method Man. Like, how the hell you was slept on, man? That don't even make no sense. Me and Watson talking about you doing a 20 songs and all that. Yeah, man. Let me go watch right here. Here we go.
Yeah,
you good. Brother, what's the other name you said?
So,
Deck, right?
So look, Buckshot was at the table. Listen, here's the thing. If people like me and Three Letterman do not have the large platforms like Adam 22 and all these other people and Rap Radar. You're right. None of those guys act like – this is the funny thing about those guys. They act like they forgot living the 90s. So they allow these conversations to just happen and erase. Like, it's insulting to hip-hop to act like only Biggie, Jay-Z, and Nas came out in the 90s.
We're not doing that. No.
There were other MCs, man, who were at the table as big as them. It's like because they didn't have 2010.
Watch, as much as I love Hov, I said Buckshot Shorty, Nas, Big, and Meth. Hov was not there. Raekwon, if you want to put there, it was before Jay. I'm putting Raekwon there.
Prodigy.
Yeah, like, listen, one thing you and I, when we linked up in 2017, we never was going to do the Biggie, Jay-Z, and Nas shit only. Like, we're not living the Biggie, Jay-Z, and Nas stories only. There was, like you said, and I like how you said that, there's other dudes out here that was moving and shaking, bro. Like, it is what it is.
Listen.
Mm-hmm.
No, we always talk about, you know, like if people listen to us, they would think we think Cuban Lynx and Infamous are the two greatest hip-hop albums that ever came out, right?
Yeah,
but
that's a fact.
Wait till y'all us do the Low End Theory album review.
Yeah,
and hear us talk about Tribe Called Quest and break down that album song for so long. Like, remember, hip-hop didn't just start in the mid-90s, man. There was 92, 91,
And listen, I'm glad you said that, Watts, because I feel a lot of times, and you and I've talked about it again before, man, they act like, I'm going to say 1990, 1991, and 1992. That those 3 years in hip hop, 1992, I would say, pardon myself, like those years, to me, they get swept under the rug for whatever reason it is. Even I could say 89, too, to be honest.
How do you sweep Mecca and the Soul Brother under the rug?
Yeah, K Solo,
that album, 1992.
Nah, I can't do that, son. Gangsta.
Villains Never Personal.
Nah. Nice and Smooth. That's what we doing.
Daily
nah.
Operation.
Nah, you know we're not doing that. Nah. 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 Sorry. K Solo. Dog, I was a big K Solo. I gotta keep it real. I was a big Fugitive. Is still to this day, Mike. I love Fugitive. I can't
yo
hold
ex,
it back.
Yo, X.
Come on,
yo,
man.
DMX. K Solo was ringing bells before you was.
That's a fact.
He was ringing bells in hip hop before you was. Even though you dissed him, you can't take away that that man impacted
nah,
me. He impacted me on Spellbound.
Solo, man.
He impacted me on Letterman. The song Letterman. Remember that song?
I can't hold it back. I love Letterman. Spellbound. I love K Solo. My
song. It's a five mic song.
Yes, man. Come on, man. Solo got five mic. Solo got five mic songs, B. Like, he literally has five mic songs. So, X, as big and popular as you are, brother, Solo meant the world to me, bro. I'm not going to do that because you dissed him. I couldn't diss K-Solo at the time because I was a K-Solo fan. Like, I like K-Solo a lot, in a lot, in my service voice. Watch, let me ask you this. Mef said Deck was underrated also, right?
Yes.
I'm going to ask you, how you feel about this? Because truth be told, you're probably one of the biggest Deck fans in the world that I know. I'm Ray and Ghost and Mef, but I know your Deck is your guy. I'm not saying you don't like Ray and Mef, of course, obviously, but Deck was your guy. Are you buying that? He was underrated.
No, I'm not buying it. And the reason why I'm not buying it is because everybody reached out to Deck in the hip-hop industry during the Wu's run. Like, how can you listen to Wu-Tang and not know about – how do you not know about Deck? He's on the old – if you take your top five all-time Wu-Tang songs, Deck is on all of them. And he splits your
favorite
verse.
Also.
You know what I'm saying? If you take – and he sets it off. So it's like, who's underrating a guy that everybody knows? Now, I think he's saying that because he never – his solo career never took off, like Ray.
Yes.
You know, he didn't have one like you. Then you connected with a Method Man. Ghostface had a better career. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's what he might mean.
I'm going to put you on the spot. The Pillage or Uncontrolled Substance by Inspector Deck?
Pillage. Pillage was a better album. It's not hard for me to say.
Wow, okay. Continue.
Just want to
see where
you were.
Yo,
the Pillage had a
Ripper.
Uncontrolled Substance. Like,
dog,
come on, man.
I got the Pillage at four mics. And I'm not jumping out the window saying that. Four.
How about a strong four mics? Not four
mics.
I'm not
mad at that.
Four mics.
I'm not mad at the Pillage being strong. I'm not mad at that. Pillage is fire.
How about this? After Cuban Links, Capadonna dropped a better solo album than Raekwon did.
Wow. Okay. How about this? Capadonna had a better album than RZA's first album. I know you guys are coming, you're going to get mad about that shit too.
Well, no, here's the thing. All we're doing is justifying everything that RZA used to tell us about Capadonna from back in the day.
Yes.
They said in the hood he was the best rapper. You know what I'm saying? So, always highlighting that. There was a reason why everybody thought he was the nicest dude and he just came fresh home.
Yeah.
It was on Raekwon album and Ghostface album, out the blue. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. But I don't got Deck as underrated. Like, I think the rappers know, like, Guru, Above the Clouds, like, Pun. Like, these niggas,
Pun, Rock,
reach out to him.
Joe.
Yeah, Pun, Fat Joe.
Dash.
Rock reached out for him.
Dash from
you
the door pound.
Yeah. So it's like, But listen, in a way, Watts, I do understand it also because unless you're a big Wu head, people always go, obviously, Ray, Meth, and Ghost, right? That's the list right there. Shit, they might even put GZA over Inspector Deck on the strength of GZA's first album.
Liquid Swords.
Which is understandable.
On the
Liquid Swords, right. So
on,
right. On the strength of Liquid Swords.
But isn't Deck on Liquid Swords?
Cold World? He was on Cold World. He was on one of his first singles. He was definitely
and
on Cold World.
And Duel and
the
Iron Mike.
And Duel Iron Mike.
And what about
Duel Iron Mike? Yeah. 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 Oh, sidebar. Sidebar. We're talking about Meth doing verses, right? My nigga, I would probably cry hip-hop tears if Meth drops his verse off Shadowboxing. Like, I don't know what nigga alive, like, Shadowboxing verse Meth, that's going to be crazy. But,
And once again, can you explain why RZA didn't play Shadowboxing?
That's, yo, RZA, that's crazy. Yo, some of y'all niggas in these verses be doing some willful, crazy Archie Bunker war maneuvers, man. Like, RZA, you play Maria and don't play Shadowboxing, nigga? What? You play Tanisha, but don't play fucking, nigga. Are you kidding me, DMX? You don't play Blackout, but you play Money Cash Shows and effing with D? X, come on, my G. Dogs. Snoop, you don't do Still Dre? That was crazy to me. What did you say, UGK and E-40?
E-40, yes.
I got to be real, man. This is, we have real talk up here, y'all. I know we ain't going to sugarcoat nothing. Meth, I'm not buying that. Meth, here's why I don't buy that. Meth, were you really listening to E-40 and UGK? That's the first question I would have. Like, you have to tell me, what were you listening to? That were you listening to that Riding Dirty album by UGK? And that's no shade to UGK at all. R.I.P. Pimp C, and I think Bun B is dumb nice. I'm one of the guys who rock with Bun B. Dripped up and draped out. I actually like that song. Bun B's dumb song with Griselda. Bun B actually has a premiere joint. So I see how Bun B gives it up.
Let me tell you what I would do if Meth said that to me, right? I say, Meth, word, put me on right now. Tell me something. Give me a verse to go to or give me some songs I should listen to. And I promise you he would not be able to do it because he'd be put on the spot. And that's why I know he's
fine. Was that the PC answer?
I don't know what kind of answer it was because he was talking to somebody who don't know nothing about hip hop. So why even say that?
If he said Royal Flush or Mike Geronimo or Smooth the Hustler,
or
I would have been like, aye, OC.
Right.
I would have bought that.
Right. Think he gave a PC answer like, let me see. Okay, let me go. And you know why? You know why it was a PC answer? Because in their region, they treat it like God. The Southern region respects
right.
UGK. They give them their flowers. Out there. So why would you say people who are legends or entire regions in this country are slept on?
Yeah, Meth, I ain't buying that, Mike G. I ain't buying that. A battle that I've been proposing for the last 2 weeks now, and I'm not going to let none of you Negroes on Twitter try to bite my shit that I've been saying, and I've said this to Watson already also, we've been talking about this. The disrespect that our guy Styles P is getting. I was saying Beanie Sigel versus Styles P. I think that that would be an interesting battle. I just think they mesh well together, especially with style of music. You know what I'm saying? I had some niggas telling me Beanie Sigel will wash Styles P. And with all due respect to Beanie Sigel, because I rocks with Beanie Sigel. Me and Watson actually had a Beanie Sigel appreciation that we did before. A lot of shit we had before in the stash, man. Our channel got taken down, y'all. But we had a lot of appreciations that we did, man. Cannabis, all these Lil Wayne, all that. T.I., in fact. But watch, I'm not buying. I'm not buying Beanie Sigel beating Styles P in 20 verses. It's not possible.
In the last five years,
Styles P's been more relevant than Beanie Sigel. That don't make no damn sense to me. And that's no shade of Beanie.
Let me expose how ridiculous people say when they say that. You do realize we've watched enough verses now where we've heard classic verses from DMX, from Jadakiss,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
The biggest songs that we gave the wins to for DMX and Jadakiss, Styles P also on them songs. So
yep.
Guess what? Styles P can
dogs.
Go Blackout.
Yep.
Styles P can
mm-hmm.
go Money, Power, Respect. Styles P
dogs.
Has Reservoir Dogs. I mean, he got everything.
My Life.
It's really disrespectful to say Styles. Okay, I'll put it this way. Styles P can battle anybody in the 20 versus battle. Anybody.
I agree with that.
He has
those. I agree with that. So to me,
to just say Beanie Siegel, no. Anybody, any rapper, he got a mean
Jay-Z,
20.
Nas.
He got a mean 20 for any of them. Come on. Every song Jada has performed up We're the Streets, Styles P's on them same song.
Let me ask you this. Am I wrong for saying that Styles P would have gave a better fight to Jadakiss than Fab did?
A 100 million time better fight. Matter of fact, he would force Jada to not do anything but street shit. Jada would have to stay in the street mixtape bag. Because he know that. Styles himself as the hardest rapper.
Yo, if Styles would hang with Jada, though, I'm going to keep it a buck. Styles, he would have hung with Jada. Man.
Yo, tell my dogs. What do you mean hung with Jada?
No. I'm saying no, because them niggas acting like Jada, because that Jada would have watched the niggas. I don't think Jada, the point I'm making is Styles, I'm giving Styles pieces flowers, saying that
okay,
the way
so
Jada
know, so,
did Fab,
so,
it was nothing
so,
been like that
you,
for Styles.
So check this out. It felt good when DMX did Niggas Done Started Something verse, right? With Styles P's on version. That. Like, that's the thing I be trying to explain to people. Every song y'all love from Jadakiss and DMX, that was a collaboration
mm-hmm.
song, Styles P
mm-hmm.
was on. When Jada played Bear from TV, you know who was on that song? Styles P. When Jada did We Gonna
yep.
Make It, you know who was on that song? Styles P. You can't, Styles P can go do what Jada did, but more hardcore. More raw.
Mm-hmm.
More street.
Yeah. Co-side of that, man. A lot of people want to see Ice Cube come outside, though, man. Do you think that's going to happen? And who would you want to see? Because I don't want to see. They were talking this LL versus Ice Cube talk, and that's something. I ain't really feeling that too much, why? So I know Swizz is throwing that in the air a lot.
Let
I
don't
me know how you
something.
Feel about that. I'm
you
not into LL
you
versus
see
Ice
it.
Cube.
You got to see it, because a battle like that turns into a celebration, man. Like, LL's playing his classics and Cube's playing his classics. You're not going to just like seeing them play their classics. So I know you're thinking that it's going to work out.
No, not at all.
So, like, you know, Cube was doing It Was a Good Day. You're going to vibe out to that. Then L does Boomer System. You're going to vibe out to that. Like, it's a lot to vibe out to. I do believe in the later rounds, Cube has a lot of West Coast-themed, scented music, and people might not get it. You know, when he gets into his West Side Connection bag, you know what I'm saying? That's
well,
heavy.
Mac Dan and Subsea.
Yeah, that's heavy. You know, I think he'll Eurostep Art of War album. You know he will. The double CD. There's
yeah.
a lot of Eurostepping going on, man.
Well, man, he has America's Most. He has NWA. He has America's Most Wanted, Death Certificate, Lethal Injection. Like, he has, you know what I mean? Then he has the Burn Hollywood Burn
verse. That's all you need. That's
right.
All you need.
Burn Hollywood Burn with Chuck D and Kane.
That's what I'm saying. Wait a minute, and he got his drum at Run DMC that I don't think he would play.
And Run DMC,
yeah.
He's not going that bag. He's not playing at all. He's not going there. But I can't see him going in that bag at all. Nah, not at all.
Is he going in his, Eric Sermon bag? Wait. Is he going in his Eric Sermon cam bag? Because you know Ice Cube is on Eric Sermon first solo album, No Pressure.
Yes.
With a song with Eric Sermon, Ice Cube, and Cam.
Or
I know he knows he's he going to Eurostep.
Yes, on DMX.
He's
going to
Eurostep that.
Yeah.
Man,
I'll
tell you, I know you want him to play that song. I know you want him to play that song.
I got to give him
Yo.
That's the song that X was, you know what I'm saying? That's the song X heard X on first. I'm glad X ain't play that, though, man. X, he could have went in his West Coast bag. You know what? X has said he's going to go in his West Coast bag. I didn't like the West Coast bag song he picked when he went against Snoop. He could have went with Be Clubbing if he really wanted to go West Coast. Because Snoop would have respected it. Like, okay, this nigga had a song with Ice Cube.
You're
in
right.
My opinion,
Snoop would have
you know
respected
saying?
It.
He respected it. Shit. You know? I don't know. We need some more West Coast representatives. What about the South? Any more South representatives? The coaching.
There's a lot of South. T.I. You can, you know, Ross.
Jeezy. Well, they're saying Jeezy and Gucci,
Wayne.
Man. So niggas talking. talking to Jeezy and Gucci Man. Let me say this to you Gucci Man niggas out there. How will y'all niggas get out of here with that bullshit? I'll have Jeezy whopping the floor with Gucci Man. That's a fact. That's a fact. You want to talk about on a run? Jeezy on 20 joints? What? Fam. And I would have Jeezy beating T.I. also. Let me throw that out there also. I think Jeezy and Ross would be the move, though, watch, if we're going to do that. Jeezy and Ross.
Do you want to see 2 Chainz? Do you want to see the Migos?
2 Chainz wanted to battle Meek Mill or some shit like that at one time, didn't he? Like, nah, I didn't want to see that.
I don't know.
I got to be real, man. I know the culture rocks with 2 Chainz, and 2 Chainz rocks with a lot of New York niggas rock with 2 Chainz heavy, for real. I was never big into Titty Boy or 2 Chainz, whatever you want to call it, man. I just was never, you know.
You wasn't into Double
like,
Black
I like
Boys?
I like Ace Hood more than 2 Chainz.
You wasn't into the Duffel Bag Boys? With Lil Wayne?
Nah.
I
did like Duffel Boy Bag.
You know
Wayne's version.
You didn't like Duffel Bag Boys. You didn't like that song?
Yeah, Wayne because of Wayne. Because of Weezy, yeah. Wayne Merck that shit. I'm telling you, son, that's a nigga that people do. Yo, T.I., you want to see Lil Wayne? I would not have you be Lil Wayne, T.I. I would not have you be Wayne at all, T.I. No way. Do you think Wayne's going to join this shit? Because that's one of the heavy hitters people are always talking about.
I think Snoop showing you that you can do this will make people see that you can do this and be a living legend. I think Swizz Beatz.
I don't know if I agree with that, though. Snoop with different muscles, Watts, in the sense of.
I think Swizz Beatz and Timbaland.
There's a big dynamic with Snoop, though, Watts. It's a big dynamic with Snoop. He's a fun-loving dude. His character and energy is high-spirited. You got to have all that, when you know what I'm saying, the complete package with Snoop.
I think like, that
Swizz. My man, Swizz said that Snoop was the most professional nigga in the verses. Swizz said Snoop was the most professional nigga through this whole ordeal.
And that's why I think Method Man would be the same exact way. I think Method Man would be the same exact way.
Okay.
Regular, show up, perform his songs, and love them. Method Man's the same way. You know, Method Man never played that Hollywood, I'm Method Man stuff. You see him, it's a regular dude. He don't act like he's this living legend if you look at him and, you know what I'm saying? Oh, my God, look, it's Method Man. And he's like, yo, what up? And that's that.
Regular.
I think Swizz Beatz and Timbaland have poisoned this. Once they decided to make this about views, I think once they decided to make this about views, highlighting the numbers, talking about the streams, what it could do for your career.
Okay.
Once that talk got into it, people it immediately takes out the love, and you're looking at it from a business
aspect, and
what you can gain from it.
Let me say what you said. The reason, and I agree with you. I agree with what you just said, because in my heart of hearts, I want to see Havoc and Alchemist, and I don't know if I'm going
to
get that because
and
of popularity or viewship and all that. You know what I mean?
Yep. That's exactly what happened. Like they both was like they were down to do it. They both said it. So you know it could have happened immediately. But Swizz and Timbaland were thinking numbers, and I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to be real with you. They are dying to get this out of black and they can go into the white world with this. They want to do it so badly because they know the numbers. They know how many people would turn in. If you get if Miley Cyrus does her songs versus a Taylor Swift, that would internet on fire. You know what I'm saying? And I'm telling you right now, Swizz Beatz and Timbaland want to do that desperately, but they don't want the backlash. But they.
I'm glad the fact that they don't want to get the backlash. I want you niggas to know you will get backlash. If that's true, that the reason you're not doing this is because of the backlash, let that be the reason. You feel me? Because I want Havoc and Alchemist. I want Pete Rock and Eric Sermon. You know what I mean? That's the shit I want to see. I want Pete Rock to get involved in this badly.
Do you realize how many albums Eric Sermon has to pull 20 songs from?
This is why I want him and P-Rock to go at it.
No, if you ever thought about that, do you realize how many? Like, he can get 20 out
he
of the
has mad
40
joints,
the albums. But then he got the Redman production. He produced How High, right?
Yeah.
He produced half of the Blackout album. Like, I don't think people realize Eric Sermon got some shit. Like,
this is why I say P-Rock and E-Double. This is why I say P-Rock and E-Double.
All the love.
For Eric Sermon and Daz. Daz Dillinger. That would be dope. I think Eric Sermon versus Daz would be interesting.
What about Daz versus DJ Quick?
I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. What about Game? Can we get Game involved? Game would be interested in this, right?
Game would absolutely do it. And I think Game would do it against Meek Mill in a heartbeat.
That would be it. Yo, I'm going to go here, though. Does Game beat Meek Mill? I'm just throwing it out there. Does Game beat Meek?
Yes, he does. I think he does.
Yeah, but you're not the biggest Meek guy, though. Come on.
Yeah, I am. I am the biggest Meek guy.
Nah, that's debatable.
I'm a big Meek
guy. You like Game more than Meek?
And Game will win.
You like Game more than Meek?
I listened to Meek since 2011. I've listened to Meek 100% more times than I listened to Game.
But I think in the overall package of the music, I think overall you still like that's true what you're saying. But I still think you like Game more than Meek, regardless of who you listened to before.
No. I like Meek more. I listen to Meek more. Like, I have all the Dream Chasers. I listen to more Meek. I have all the Dream Chasers mixtapes, and they are in heavy rotation, and I play his first three albums. I play them.
How about this? Nori and Cam?
Not interested.
Does Ja need to get involved in this, Ja Rule?
He wants the Battle 50. He wants Smoke. Yo, what do you think about people just calling this guy like they want to prove? Like, what is it that, like, Ja wants 50, T.I. wants 50? What is it that people are seeing in 50's hip-hop resume that they feel it's an easy win?
You know what it is? I think they looked at 50 as the bully, right? And 50 doesn't care about music anymore, so now they want to come at him about their music. Because 50's really removed from music, man. Let's call it what it is. But I hate the fact that the culture be acting like they don't remember.
He got a song with Pop Smoke and Roddy Ricch, and it's doing the biggest numbers he's done in a long time in terms of views.
Yeah, but that's not.
And he's doing
him,
the number one album, the Pop Smoke album.
But that's not on the strength of him.
So he's definitely
but that's
look.
Not on the strength of him, though. But that's not on the strength of 50, though. That's on the strength of Pop.
Are you excited about the song with Casanova and DMX?
Casanova and DMX is doing a song?
The song is already done. Casanova put it out
Let
right
me say
after
this.
The battle.
I got to be real. I have no interest in hearing DMX rap. I know people don't want to hear that. He doesn't sound the same on beats. He raps way fast on these tracks when he's rapping to these beats. It doesn't have the same feel anymore. It just doesn't. I know y'all don't want to hear that, but it's just the truth, man. It's the truth. I don't like hearing DMX rap right now. I don't. I like Casanova, though. You know that. You don't like Casanova.
Oh, speaking of Casanova, he got a song. He got a song called, well, he don't got a song. My man, Klaus Sutter, Trust Gang, got a song with Casanova called The Apes. And they shot it in Harlem. I fucked with a hard body.
It's tough.
Did you see that yet?
No, I didn't see that, sir.
And your boy Fabio got a new song in a video with Famous Dex. I know you like Famous Dex, so Famous Dex and Fabio
I like
got a song.
Famous Dex.
Come on, do you know Famous Dex?
He's from Chicago, of course. I know who Famous Dex is, man. I know Famous Dex because of my man Zach TV, man. RIP Zach TV.
He got a song with Fabio Form and shot a video for it. And by the way, do you have a problem with the fact that Fabio Form lied about his age and he's not 23?
Yo, let's talk about it. You sound far away, Watts. You sound far away, but I want to talk to you about this. So we're saying Fabio lied about his age, right?
Yes.
So yes. How old is Fabio right now? How old is Fabio? Do we know the age, the real age of Fabio Form?
30.
Is it almost equivalent to when people in the NBA lie about their heights? When they say Charles Barkley is 6'7", and like 6'4", type shit? I don't know. What do we think, Watts? Was that corny?
I don't know what to think, brother.
He's moving around like a young boy.
He's telling everybody he was born in 1996. And you know how they found out he was 30? They found his jail record.
How?
They found his jail record, his real name. He was locked
niggas
up.
Niggas digging the files.
He did a,
niggas.
Because he got locked up.
The files.
People was like, hold up. Let me see. So, yeah.
Wow.
That's when they found out.
So he's 30 years old. 30. 30. 30.
Running around like he's 20.
I don't know how I feel about that, son. That's a little fraudulent.
No,
so far.
No.
A little fraudulent.
I don't know me either.
A little fraudulent. That's a little fraudulent. Let's
call
it what it is.
What do you think about that behavior as a 30-year-old?
I'm not. See, that's what I'm saying. Wait for it, Favi. Archie Bunker Award. Come on, my nigga. I don't like that. I mean, Sosa Geek out here showing gats on IG Live, perk heads, sipping lean. I understand his reckless behavior, but Favi, you 30 years old, my dude. I'm not knocking him being 30. I'm not going to knock him being 30, getting himself out of situation, but you running around acting like you're 21, 22 years old, and there's nothing like that. Damn. When are you going to stop throwing up the sets, my nigga? Like, for real. That's crazy. 30?
Yeah, man.
That's wild. That is wild. I want to say, man. All right, man. Watch. Take us home, my G.
PSA Hip Hop, the home of Kluminati, DJ Clue.
Why the Kluminati, DJ Clue? Why?
Because me and you knew a good Clue tape in the late 90s meant everything.
Meant everything. That's a fact. That's a fact. That's a fact. When you saw the track listing of a Clue
your
tape.
Favorite. DJ Clue introduced you to nature, and you'll never forget
he
that.
Did.
He
did. I love
introduced you to nature.
That's a fact. I will never forget that. I always love Clue. He gave us so much bangers, my guy.
Wait a minute.
Shout out
and
to Ron
Clue also gave us,
and all that.
And Clue also gave us Cannabis's greatest freestyle, over 97 mentality. That's
he
on
did,
a Clue tape.
He did.
That's what I'm saying.
He
PSA
did.
Hip-hop, the home of
he
DJ
did.
Clue. Clue gave us hip-hop memories, man.
Clue, all right, Clue or Clay?
Oh, man, that's tough, man, because in the 90s it was Clue, but in the 2000s, I'm talking about early 2000s, like the year 2000, 2001, Clay Slay was hitting us with the triple CD. Not a double CD, triple CD,
yeah.
Man. He was,
yeah.
He like went for Clue's spot and made an He literally made a name for himself to show I'm not gonna let Clue and Envy take over this game because I don't
Word.
Expect they
a fact. Wait, talk about. Me and Watson do have something on this channel also. If you want to, you know, dig in the archives, PSA Hip Hop Mixtape DJs Convo is definitely on this channel. We spoke about Mixtape DJs about 2 years ago, so you know, take a listen, man. It is what it is, man. PSA Hip Hop, man, rock with your boys, man. I know the vibes already, man. 3 and Watts. 1.